If you have your Bibles, turn, if you please, to our text this morning, Mark chapter 4 and verses 35 to 41. As we continue in our series, Why Jesus? Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 35. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." And let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for your word. Just thank you, Lord, in times of trial and troubles and storms that we can turn to you, Lord, for peace and for help and for healing. And I pray, Lord, this morning that you would just teach us how to trust you more and more for the trials that continue to come. Pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit and open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. None of us Cub fans will ever forget how spot on relief pitcher Carl Edwards Jr. was back in 2016 and how he got the first two outs in the bottom of the 10th and game 7 to help the Chicago Cubs win the World Series that year. But then in the playoffs in 2017, Carl Edwards Jr. started to tank. And he screwed up his mechanics and had to have back surgery and was sent down multiple times to the minor leagues to try to get his mojo back. But still, he couldn't get anybody out to save his soul. So finally, last July the 25th, the Chicago Cubs traded him to the San Diego Padres for a minor league pitcher. Folks, you talk about a fall. And Carl Edwards Jr. claims to be a Christian. So God, why? Where are you? And if you're really there, why did all those bad things happen to him? And people, let me ask you this morning, how many of us sitting in this room right now, listening to this sermon, are asking exactly the same question about stuff in our lives too? God, why? Where are you? And if you're really there, why are all these bad things happening to me? The text we have in front of us this morning answers those questions. We're in a series at Fox River right now, a series simply called Why Jesus? Looking at all kinds of reasons why, in this pluralistic world that we're living in, we should believe in only Jesus and serve only Jesus. And today we see that we should believe in Jesus because Jesus helps us in times of trouble like nobody else does. And to see that, we turn this morning to Mark chapter 4 and verses 35 to 41. In this part of Mark chapter 4, Jesus is teaching his disciples early on in his ministry. And in our text today, Jesus is teaching them that they need to trust him in all kinds of times of trouble and storm. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, we need to learn to trust Jesus too, to see us through all the troubles and storms in our lives as well. Our text this morning, Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41, tells us three reasons why Jesus helps us in times of trouble like nobody else. And let's look and see what those three reasons are. The first thing we see from this text, the first reason why Jesus helps us in times of trouble is because we always have trouble. And that's exactly what the disciples get into here in verses 35 to 37, because they sail right into the teeth of a storm. Now, Jesus had been teaching the crowds all day long from a boat anchored on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee. And verse 35, because Jesus traveled more than a Donald Trump tweet, even though it was already getting dark, Jesus tells the disciples to shove off for the eastern side of the lake. Sea of Galilee was 13 miles long, 8 miles wide. It's surrounded by mountains, so the wind is always barreling down, constantly whipping up storms, just like that. And people, this one was a lulu. That phrase in verse 37 that says furious squall literally means megastorm. And that boat, about 27 feet long, 8 feet wide, and 4 feet high, was being swamped by the waves and sinking like a rock. You talk about a storm. And let me ask you this morning, what are the storms that are blowing around in your life right now that just come up all of a sudden? For J-Lo's 50th birthday, her boyfriend, A-Rod, bought her a $140,000 Porsche 911 GTS. Your birthday, your husband didn't even take you to the drive-thru at McDonald's. And the only time he even tries to hold your hand is when he wants the TV remote. Actor Eddie Murphy just had his 10th child with his 4th different girlfriend. Meanwhile, you and your wife couldn't make a baby to save your soul. The wicked prosper and the righteous suffer. God, it's not fair. Your parents just decided to ruin your life by getting a divorce. Because what are you supposed to do now? And where are you supposed to live? And whose side are you supposed to be on? School starts in 2 weeks, and the other kids are already texting you and calling you a queer. It's going to be a great year, you can tell. You got molested by an older brother, and nobody that you tell wants to believe you. So what? You're just supposed to try to forget it? God, where are you? Your wife left you for some himbo she met on Instagram. Your son tells you that he's gay. Your daughter drops out of nursing school because she wants to be a YouTube celebrity. Your kids are breaking your heart, and all your hopes and dreams for them are circling the drain. You had to go to Pleasant View because your legs don't work anymore, and you are scared to death that you are never going to be able to go back home again. The doctor tells you you've got pancreatic cancer, and you are so depressed you are this close to taking yourself out. The storms of life. And just remember, every single one of us goes through them. And Christians, there's no immunity program for us either. Amen. If Jesus and His disciples had to go through the storms, you can bet the farm we'll go through them too. Matthew 5:45 says, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Ecclesiastes 9:11, time and chance happen to everybody. Jesus said, John chapter 16, verse 33, in this world you will have difficulty. Not might have, will have. Bet the farm, they're coming. And everybody goes through them. Pop singer Mariah Carey was just diagnosed with bipolar disorder. Actress Sarah Hyland on Modern Family has kidney dysplasia that almost killed her. Pop singer Ariana Grande always wears her hair in a ponytail because her scalp was severely burned when she was a little girl, and that's the only hairstyle she can find that covers up all the scars. Former Boston Red Sox slugger David Ortiz last June the 9th got shot in a bar in the Dominican Republic and almost died. Anderson Cooper's mother, billionaire Gloria Vanderbilt, died this past June the 17th. And back in 1988, her 25-year-old son, Carter, Anderson's brother, committed suicide right in front of her by jumping off the 14th floor of her hotel suite. Storms happen to everybody. Not a matter of if, only a matter of when. And why do those storms happen? Because the Bible tells us we live in a fallen world where because of sin, nothing in this world works like God originally created it to or intended it to. Romans chapter 8, verse 20. That's why you've got moles in your yard. That's why I got weeds in my garden. That's why we have tornadoes and earthquakes and hurricanes. That's why one out of every four pregnancies ends in a miscarriage. That's why people get things like MS and Lou Gehrig's disease. Last Saturday, August the 3rd, three women were killed at a big family reunion in Encinitas, California, when a 30-foot chunk of sandstone beach just gave way and collapsed right on top of them. And one of the women killed there was 57-year-old Elizabeth Cox, who that day was celebrating finally being cancer-free after 2 long years of treatment. In a fallen world, storms just happen. Some storms happen because of our own sin. You know that phrase, everything happens for a reason? One of those reasons is because we're stupid and we make stupid choices. You've got lung cancer because you smoked like a chimney for 45 years. You've got HPV and can't get pregnant because you slept around like a bedbug. See what the little 2-year-old boy did at the Atlanta airport 2 weeks ago? Stupid choices. But folks, not all the bad things that happen to us are necessarily because of bad choices or because of our sin. Because whether people want to believe it or not, there's a devil loose in the world right now. And he's come to steal and kill and destroy. And a week ago last Saturday, he showed up at a Walmart in El Paso, Texas, and killed 22 people who were just there shopping for school supplies. And the police chief, the city of El Paso, said this, "I don't have a handbook to deal with evil other than the Bible." We have to turn to that. People, listen to me. I don't care what kind of storm, what kind of trouble you're dealing with in your life right now. I don't care what caused it. I don't care where it came from. There's only one place we need to turn to. One person. The biggest storm that everybody in America is focused on right now are those mass shootings that happened a week ago last Saturday. That killed 9 people at a nightclub in Dayton, Ohio, and 22 more people at a Walmart in El Paso, Texas. But there is a guy up in Aurora, Illinois, who has been dealing with mass shootings like that for many, many years now. A retired carpenter, 68-year-old Greg Zanis. Because ever since his father-in-law was killed in Aurora back in 1996, he's had this ministry going called Crosses for Losses. Or he makes little white wooden crosses in his garage and then takes them and sets them up at the site of every mass shooting in America. Never advertises. It's all word of mouth. Never charges anything. It's totally free. And he does it to honor the victims and to bring some kind of healing to the victims' families. And over the last 23 years, Greg Zanis has taken crosses and set them up in so many places, you can easily recognize them now in all the pictures of all the memorials. He's taken them to Columbine High School in Columbine, Colorado, Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut, the Special Ed School in San Bernardino, California, the Pulse Nightclub in Orlando, Florida, Mandalay Bay Resort in Las Vegas, Nevada, Santa Fe High School in Santa Fe, Texas, First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, Texas, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, Parkland, Florida, the Henry Pratt Company, Aurora, Illinois, his hometown, the government building in Virginia Beach, Virginia. I could go on and on. And a week ago last Saturday, right after those shootings, he left the very next day, 4 a.m. Sunday morning, drove all the way to El Paso, Texas to set up 22 crosses there, then drove all the way back to Dayton, Ohio to set up even more crosses there. And this is what Greg Zanis says about it. "I'm not a church guy and I've got nothing to do with politics. I'm just a guy about the heart. And my heart breaks for these people and their families. And I know what it's like to lose a loved one with my own daughter dying of a drug overdose. There's just something about seeing that cross that does something to people. And I just want those crosses to give people some peace like they have given me." Now, I don't know Greg Zanis. I don't know if he's a Christian. I don't know if he's saved or knows Jesus. I have no idea if he even knows what the cross of Jesus Christ is really all about. But he does realize, like most of the people who go to those memorials, there is something about the cross of Jesus Christ in times of trouble and storm and heartache that touches people and gives them peace. Because whether they realize it or not, on that cross, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, went through the absolute worst time of trouble and storm and heartache that anybody ever has for us. And on that cross, Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world that causes people so much suffering and grief and destroys the power that the trouble and the storm and the suffering has over us. Bane and blessing, pain and pleasure by the cross are sanctified. Peace there is that knows no measure. Joys that through all time abide. You want peace in the midst of all the storms that the world throws your way, you turn to the cross of Jesus Christ. The first reason why Jesus helps us in time of trouble is because we always have trouble. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. a second reason why Jesus helps us in time of trouble. Not because we always have trouble, but also because Jesus is always with us. And that's exactly what the disciples are counting on here in verse 38. Now, the Greek says this storm was seismos megalos. In other words, it was a storm of seismic proportions. So the earth was a rocket, and the water was a rolling. And even though 7 of the 12 disciples were old sea dogs who knew all about storms on the Sea of Galilee, this was a mega storm. And they were mega scared out of their minds. And notice, where was Jesus? He wasn't monitoring the situation from the shore with a flyover drone. They're all in the same boat because Jesus is right there in the storm with them. Jesus helps us in times of trouble, like no other God of no other faith system ever could or would ever want to. And you know why? Because Buddhism says all the storms and trouble and suffering that we have in this life is just an illusion. Really. The picture you see there on the screen is an x-ray of a grade 4 terminal brain tumor. People, that is not an illusion. And especially for the poor guy who has it. And Hinduism teaches karma. The idea that all the bad stuff that happens to us in this life is just payback and punishment for sins committed in a previous life. So hey, better luck next time. Other gods don't help us because they have no real compassion for us. Every year, thousands of Hindus flock to a temple of Shiva in the city of Kerala in India. And every year, hundreds of those Hindus get trampled to death because the first ones up that narrow stairway to the statue at the top get the biggest blessing. And since it's every man for himself, a couple of hundred dead, just collateral damage. Last March, a 13-year-old Muslim girl from Zamfara, Nigeria, was sentenced to 180 lashes because she got pregnant after her Muslim father pimped her out to 3 different men. Because under Muslim Sharia law, even when girls get sexually assaulted against their will, it's still always considered their fault. And do you know why Shiva and Allah don't give a rip about human beings like you and me? Because they have no idea what it's like to be us. But see, Jesus Christ does, because Jesus actually did become one of us. And He walked in our shoes. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, He shared our humanity. So Jesus knows exactly what it's like to get dirty and tired and hungry and thirsty. Jesus knows what it's like to be tempted to lust and to drink and to get wasted. Jesus knows exactly what it's like to get depressed. Jesus knows exactly what it's like to get rejected and abandoned and have your own family members think you're crazy. Jesus knows exactly what it's like to get dumped on for something that you didn't do. Kevin, doesn't Jesus realize how scared I am? Yeah, He does. Kevin, doesn't Jesus understand how much I'm hurting? Yes, He does. Doesn't Jesus realize how unfair this is, what I'm going through right now? Yes, He does. People, listen to me. I don't care what kind of situation you're in right now. I guarantee you Jesus Christ has already been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, and come out the other side so He can help you get through it too. Jesus is always with us. And I know there's somebody listening to this sermon right now thinking, yeah, Kevin, Jesus is in the same boat with those disciples. But notice verse 38, He's asleep at the switch. Mother of all storms, Hurricane Jesus, the boat is sinking, and He's sawing logs. So Kevin, Jesus may be in the same boat with me right now, but all this bad stuff going on in my life, He must be sleeping like Rumpelstiltskin. No. Notice, Jesus is not able to sleep in this boat in this storm just because He's tired. Jesus is able to sleep in that boat during the storm because He's not worried. And the Bible tells us, Psalm 121 verse 3, now that Jesus is up in heaven, He never slumbers or sleeps. And if Jesus never slumbers or sleeps, no sense both of you staying awake all night. So if you've got problems in your mind and in your heart, give them to the Lord, go to bed, and sleep like a baby. You say, well, Kevin, if Jesus isn't asleep, if Jesus is really awake, then why did he allow those mass shootings to happen a week ago last Saturday? And the only thing I can say is I don't know. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29 says the secret things belong to God. There are bad things that are going to happen to us and the people that we love in this lifetime that we are never going to be able to figure out this side of eternity. We don't know what the reason is, but we do know what the reason isn't, and it isn't because he doesn't love us or care about us, because he proved that at the cross. Well, Kevin, God owes us an explanation. God owes us nothing except punishment in hell for eternity and a day. And God is under no obligation whatsoever to explain anything to anyone, anytime, anywhere. He doesn't answer to us. We answer to him. And I am not going to stand up here in a church on a Sunday morning and apologize for anything that God has ever done or has ever allowed. Because he's God, everything he does is right, and the judgments of the Lord are pure and righteous altogether. End of discussion. And besides that, we don't live by explanations, we live by promises. And especially Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that no matter what kind of bad things we go through, God can take those bad things and always, always, always turn them into something good. We blame Jesus for all the bad things that go wrong. We never give Jesus any credit for all the good things that go right. Last April 15th, in Oslo, Norway, a woman named Ina Mansky was looking at a beluga whale in the harbor there. And she accidentally dropped her cell phone in the water. But then this happened.
Oh my God!
That beluga whale dove down, grabbed that lady's phone, and brought it back to her, to the surface. We spend so much time complaining that Jesus is asleep at the wheel. My, 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 how we forget the gazillions and mercies and blessings that he gives us all along the way. So the question is, are you going to keep trusting Jesus, even when it looks like he's asleep in your boat, like she's doing? This is Jane Boat, in case anybody doesn't know. She's been at Fox River ever since the time of Adam and Eve. About a month and a half ago, she was diagnosed with cancer. And she just started her first round of chemo treatments. Only one out of every eight women in America have what Jane Boat has. And God only knows why it's her turn now. But see, Jane Boat is still in this church. She's still praising the Lord. She's still praying. She's still believing. And you know why? You know what the secret is to trusting God in times of trouble? Doing it. And believe in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that God is going to take this and somehow use it for something good. And not only in her life, but in the lives of all the people around her as well. And Jane Vogt doesn't believe that because it's the only thing she's got to hang on to. She believes it because it's true. And that's a lesson that I have to keep learning myself over and over and over again. After the basement flooded in the parsonage where Sue and I live last May, the church got a company to come in and test it for mold. And sure enough, it was bad. So ever since last June the 14th, Sue and I have been hauling 25 years worth of stuff out of that basement to a storage pod, to an outside garage, even to our upstairs. So the upstairs of our house right now looks like an episode of Hoarders. Piles as high as your eyeballs that you can barely even walk around. And some people from church came over and helped us clear out some big stuff and haul some more. Kelly Hatch came over one day and helped Sue an entire day. Clean all kinds of stuff, wipe down food stuff that was in a pantry in the basement. Now, doing all this on top of the sermons and the VBS lessons and the visitations and the counseling session, so don't anybody dare ask us how our summer has been this year. Well, last July the 10th, the scrubber showed up and cleaned all the mold off the basement walls and off the floor joists. And the smell was so bad, we couldn't even stay in the house that night. Then July the 18th, two more guys came to clean all the mold out of the ductwork in the house. Right at the same time, the mother of all storms was blowing in from the west. Lightning so bad, you could almost smell the sulfur. I walk in the house and all of a sudden, here's this guy walking around her upstairs. Well, come to find out, he was trying to find the vents and the cold air returns to put vinyl magnetic strips on them to keep the crud from blowing out when they were blowing out the air ducts. So we crawled all over the piles and got those put in place. And then they started cleaning. At the exact time, it started raining like it ain't never rained before. And water, like Niagara Falls, started flowing through the basement window because the downspout right next to it outside was plugged. And the phone started ringing off the wall from all kinds of insurance companies. And the house alarm started blaring, telling me that the sump pump was overflowing. So I ran downstairs to the basement. The sump pit was overflowing because the guy had unplugged the sump pump in order to plug his machine in order to do the cleaning. And the rain and the thunder and the phone ringing off the wall and the house alarm blaring and constantly running up and down the stairs trying to make sure the sump pump wasn't overflowing. And that happened over and over again, on and on and on. People, you talk about being in a storm. Where's the end of the world when you need it? And then those two guys came upstairs after they were finished downstairs to clean all the cold air returns and the whole house fan. And when they went to turn on the whole house fan, they pulled a string out of the switch and broke it. So the fan was stuck on, and it was roaring. And the only way we could shut it off was by flipping the breaker. And then they cleaned a little bit more, and then they left as fast as they could. And Sue and I soon found out why. Sue and I just about had a baby when we walked around that upstairs and saw by every vent, every cold air return, there was enough dirt to plant a garden. And in that hallway where Sue and Kelly Hatch had stacked all the stuff that they cleaned previously, crud had shot out of those cold air returns when they were cleaning all over the walls, and everything that had been previously cleaned was as dirty as the Dust Bowl. People, we were this close to grabbing our cats, turning the key, and walking away. God, why? Like we got all this spare time and don't have enough to do already? And I'll tell you, if somebody at that moment had quoted to me Romans 8:28, all good things work together for good, I would not have been legally responsible for my actions. But see, God is as good as His Word. Because later that same day, three angels from this congregation showed up to help us. Kelly Hatch came all the way back to our house and helped Sue clean everything all over again. And Curtis Larson showed up and fixed our whole house fan for us. And James showed up and started working on the downspouts to make sure Niagara Falls flows through the basement again. People, listen to me. I don't care what kind of trial, what kind of storm you're going through right now. I don't care how ugly it gets. Jesus is with you, working through all that mess to bring good things out of it. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2, when you pass through the water and the rain and the sump pit and the house alarm and the mold remediation, I am with you, or something like that. The second reason why Jesus helps us in time of trouble is because Jesus is always with us. We go on in this text, we see a third thing, a third reason why Jesus helps us in time of trouble. Not only because we always have trouble, not only because Jesus is always with us, but third, because Jesus always has a plan to use that trouble in our lives. And that's exactly what He's trying to do with the disciples here in verses 39 to 41. Because Jesus had a plan to use that storm. Jesus and His disciples could have very easily gotten some rooms at Motel 6 in Capernaum that night, or crashed with some friends, and then started out for the eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee first thing next morning. But no, Jesus insisted on making that trip that same night. And do you know why Jesus never checked the weather app on His phone before they took off? Because Jesus knew exactly that storm was coming. Because He knows everything. Jesus never does anything flying by the seat of His pants. Everything Jesus Christ does is all according to an eternal plan and purpose. And Jesus had a plan to use that storm in the lives of His disciples. So what does Jesus want to use the storms in our lives for? To wake us up, make us realize how much we need Him and depend on Him, to drive us to Him, Because honest to Pete, how many people listen to this sermon right now, honestly, would ever turn to Jesus Christ if we never had a problem in our lives? And how would we ever learn how to trust Him if we never had anything to trust Him for? 4 years ago, actress Shannon Doherty of old Hollywood 90210 was diagnosed with really aggressive breast cancer. She had a radical mastectomy, went through 6 rounds of excruciating chemotherapy and radiation. She went through hell on earth. But today she is totally cancer free. And this is what she says about it. What I went through with cancer changed me forever. It made me realize I'm not as tough as I thought, and that I need other people, and that I especially need the Lord for strength that I don't have on my own. As brutal as it was, cancer opened me up. It strengthened my marriage. It made me turn to God. So it may sound funny for me to say, but cancer truly was a gift from the Lord. Wow. God allows some things He hates in our lives in order to accomplish some things that He loves in our lives. Jesus will rock our boat and allow us to go through storms and troubles in order to strengthen our faith. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, these trials have come so that your faith might be proven genuine. Faith that's never stretched, never grows. Romans chapter 8, verse 29, God allows us to go through storms to conform us to the image of Christ. In other words, to make us more and more like Jesus. Because God wants to populate heaven with people who have pretty much the same character that Jesus has. Which means Jesus is going to take us through pretty much the same trials that He had to go through. So if Jesus had to learn patience through suffering, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, we're going to have to learn patience through suffering. And if we flunk the lesson over and over again, we're just going to have to keep taking the same class over and over again. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, these things will continue until we become mature and become like Jesus. That's the plan. And Christians, we got to keep trusting that plan, even if we don't always know exactly what the plan is. Even when it gets really hairy and scary. Last April the 15th, in Omaha, Nebraska, a 59-year-old man named Tim Standard started hurting, having severe pains because his heart was beating out of his chest. So his wife called 911, the ambulance flew over, loaded him up, floored it to Lakeside Hospital in Omaha. But no matter what those EMTs did in that ambulance, they could not get that man's heart rate slowed down. And they knew if they didn't get to the hospital ASAP, he was going to die. But then all of a sudden, to make matters worse, that ambulance hit a huge pothole. So bad, it blew the tire and busted the whole wheel assembly, so forget about making it to the hospital. Tim Standard was a goner. But see, there was a lot of Christians praying for him. So when the EMTs checked him out again, what do you know? The jolt that he took from that ambulance hitting that pothole jarred him so much, it regulated his heartbeat. And got it back in rhythm. And today, Tim Standard is still walking around healthy as a horse. People, what looks like the greatest tragedy in your life can also become the greatest blessing in your life because God has a plan to use it that way. Tim Standard said this, God's plan for us is always better than our plan for us. That's why it's better for God to write the story of our lives than it is for us to write it ourselves. There's somebody sitting in this church right now listening to this sermon. You're going through a storm and a trial. You're right there in the teeth of it. You heard that phrase, the calm before the storm? Well, right now, you're in the storm before the calm. Because God has a plan to turn the tide of that storm in your life and use it for something good. This too shall pass. Just trust Him. Because Jesus has a plan to calm your storm too. And that's exactly what He does for the disciples here in verse 39. The storm is raging. The disciples wake Him up. And even before Jesus has His coffee, He speaks 2 simple words in the Greek that simply mean quiet or peace be still. And just like that, immediately, just like that, the Sea of Galilee goes from mega storm to mega calm. And as quiet and smooth as the tunnel of love. Because Jesus Christ has all authority in heaven and on earth. Even the winds and the waves obey Him for crying out loud. And you know what, Christians? The winds and the waves still obey Jesus Christ to this day. Which means Jesus can take you from mega storm to mega calm just like that as well. From mega marriage problems to mega reconciliation. From mega money problems to mega financial blessing. From mega health problems to mega healing. Just like that. Because Jesus Christ rides upon the storm. Psalm chapter 29 verse 10. And there is nothing, absolutely nothing that Jesus through prayer cannot do. So the only question is, are you going to keep trusting Jesus and keep getting in the boat with Him every time He asks you to, no matter how bad the wind may be a howling? In verse 40, Jesus rips into His disciples. Why are you so afraid? Do you still not have any faith? Did I say, let's go die in the middle of the Sea of Galilee? No. I said, let's go over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. I promise you we would make it. You've seen me raise people from the dead, for crying out loud. Did you honestly think I was going to let you drown? And the only thing the disciples can say here in verse 41, who is this? And notice that question isn't answered there. And you know why? Because that's the question that every single one of us has to answer for ourselves. Do you really believe, do you honestly believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God with the power and the authority to calm any storm there is? When you find out your husband's addicted to porn, he says, peace be still. When that doctor tells you your baby is going to die, peace be still. When the neurosurgeon tells you the brain tumor is only giving you 3 months, peace be still. When the divorce papers come and the pain doesn't go away and you get that phone call from the state police telling you that your daughter had been killed by a drunk driver, peace be still. When half of your church, for crying out loud, moves away to 6 other states, peace be still. Because Jesus knows the worst, biggest, most important storm of all that needs to be calmed isn't one out there, it's the storm right in here, in our own minds and our own hearts. Isn't it? Last April, Sue and I went back to the Outer Banks in North Carolina for the umpteenth billionth time. But because life is short, we decided to do something different this year for a change. Now, we'd done some kayaking up on a lake in Michigan, so for some reason, we got this idea that we would kayak on Roanoke Sound, the body of water that separates the Outer Banks from the Carolina coast. And we found this outfit that offered what they called a bioluminescence tour, where you kayak out in Roanoke Sound at night so you can see all these creatures under the water that glow in the dark. So we paid our money, off we went, and what in the world was I thinking? Because my mother taught me to be scared to death of water, and I can't swim. And because Roanoke Sound is right next to the Atlantic Ocean, there's sharks in that water too. So I guess it wouldn't matter if I knew how to swim or not. Now, the brochure said we were just going to kayak around some marshes in Roanoke Sound. And there were marshes right up there by the entrance, right where the business was located. I thought, well, this is going to be pretty simple. No, the guide said, we're going to go out to that marsh 2 miles away, over 2 miles of shark-infested water. Now, the only time Sue and I kayak on that lake in Michigan is when the water is like a sheet of glass. But the water that night in Roanoke Sound was so choppy, the waves were about 2.5 feet high. So here's me and Sue in this double kayak paddling at night, my life flashing in front of my eyes, and I'm thinking, I actually paid money for this chance to die. And the guide could see I was scared, and she said, Kevin, don't be nervous. The water here is so shallow, you could get out of this kayak and walk it. Yeah, that's exactly what the sharks would want you to do. People, I was freaking out. And the whole bioluminescence thing was kind of a joke because we paddled around this marsh at night for about an hour, waving our hands in the water, and we could see some plankton, you know, that would glow in the dark, but there was nothing else. And the tour guide said, well, we're probably too early in the season for that kind of stuff. Yeah, she knew that when she took us out. And then she said, well, if you sit back and you look up in the sky, you can see the Big Dipper. I can see the Big Dipper in Illinois. And it doesn't cost me $60 and I don't have to risk my life to do it either. And then we had to kayak back to the launch site. 2 miles over shark-infested water. And because I was paddling the back, I had to paddle harder than Sue did. But no matter how hard I paddled, we weren't going anywhere. We weren't getting any closer. In fact, we were drifting further away. And I don't understand currents or anything, but even though the wind was blowing from the west, we were drifting west from the same direction the wind was going. And no matter how hard I paddled, I couldn't get it right. So every third or fourth paddle, that stroke that I would take, I'd take the paddle, I'd drag the kayak, point it back in the right direction, and struggle some more. We were defying all the laws of physical science, and I was killing myself. And the wind started blowing harder, and it started getting darker. And we were drifting further away, and the sharks were circling the kayaks. And I started to panic, and I was paddling so hard, I got Sue soaking wet, and she finally yelled at me, "Kevin, would you calm down?" I said, "Do you want to stay out here all night?" "I don't. Jesus, help me. Don't you understand that we're drowning here?" And then all of a sudden, I looked over at the tour guides who were with us, and they were just chilling. They were paddling like only 5 or 6 times a minute, just gently correcting their course, had their legs over the side of the kayak, dangling their feet in the water. They weren't worried about sharks at all. Not a care in the world. And because I was freaking out, I noticed they were as far away from us as they could possibly be. And all of a sudden I realized, there's no problem out here. The only problem is right here. There's no storm at sea going on out here. The only storm is right here in my own heart and in my own mind. Then all of a sudden Jesus said, "Peace be still." And we got back to the launch site. And I can't remember whether or not I kissed the dock, but I remember Jesus said this, "Did you really think I was going to let you drown out there? That I wasn't with you? That I didn't have a plan to get you right back where you started from? Where is your faith?" The worst, biggest, most important storm that we have to calm isn't any storm out there. It's right here in our own hearts. And the only question is, are we going to trust Jesus Christ enough to let Him do that? Last April the 15th, the whole world watched in horror as the 600-year-old Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris burned for over 13 hours and shook Christianity in Europe and in the world to its core. And all told, 2/3 of that roof burned and one of the famous steeples collapsed and was destroyed. But as some people in the world looked at the pictures of that fire, they noticed something kind of strange in the middle of it. Something that kind of looked like Jesus right there in the midst of the fire. And whatever that is, it's an incredible reminder that no matter how bad any kind of tragedy or storm or trouble in our lives may be, either in the church, in the world, or in our lives personally, Jesus is right there. Jesus is right there in the midst of that storm. And it's as if He's saying, "I got this. And I've got you too. And I am still in control. If I am in your boat, it is not going to sink. So just be still in your storm and know that I am God. You're going to make it." Let's pray. "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God." I pray, Lord, that You just take a hold of us right now. Not one person in this room, not one of us that is not dealing with some kind of storm, some kind of trouble in our lives right now. I pray that You just take a hold of us, head to toe, heart and spirit, and just stop us and stop all the worry and the fear and the screaming and the yelling and the freaking out, and just make us still and quiet before You in Your presence. Lord, we acknowledge right now You are God, You are in control, You've got this. We are going to make it through, because You will never leave us and never forsake us. Every one of us, Lord, has that secret, quiet prayer request in our heart right now. that trouble, that trial we're going through right now. And right now we give it to you. We surrender it to you. We take in exchange for that the peace that passes all understanding. Thank you, Lord, that you're speaking peace be still to us right now in our storm and our trial. And we receive that today. In Jesus' name, amen.